You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's Wednesday, which means it's time to talk our state's history.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do grant.
The other passengers very reluctantly gave up their seats, but I refused.
You're living at a time of extremism, a time of revolution.
The baseball season is once again upon us. The national pastime, of course, carries an overwhelming sense of history and tradition that continues to make the game fascinating to watch, even if your favorite team could be struggling. A less romantic part of baseball's history is the exclusion of minorities until Jackie Robinson famously broke the major league color barrier in 1947 playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Or did he? Joining us now is the state archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey, and adjunct lecturer in political science at Kent State University, Craig Brown, and welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Mark, there are so many books and there's movies and much written about Jackie Robinson breaking that color barrier in baseball. Did he?
He was not the first, believe it or not. That distinction goes to Moses Fleetwood Walker, who actually played at the University of Michigan, and he broke the color barrier in professional baseball in, wait for it, 1884.
Wow.
Playing with the Toledo Blue Stockings of the American Association.
All right, let's go to Ohio. Craig, tell us about the early life of Moses Fleetwood Walker.
Oh, Moses Fleetwood Walker. Moses Fleetwood Walker was born in a small Quaker community near the Ohio River called Mount Pleasant. His father was a cooper there, and then shortly thereafter moved to Steubenville, which is even a little bit closer to the Ohio River, believe it or not, where his father was a doctor. That's where he played baseball and developed those skills. And then after that, his father actually became a minister. It's weird how his father has so many different career choices. And they moved to Oberlin, Ohio, where he did some preparatory school, and he attended college there as well and was a member of their first baseball team.
Okay, so he started playing baseball. Do we know when?
No, we actually don't know when, because obviously, you know, what we're looking at here is like 1870s, you know, 1860s. So it's kind of hard to actually put an exact moment on it. And actually, we know a little bit about his family from, you know, census records. But other than that, we don't know anything too specific until he gets to Oberlin.
And Mark, just repeat again, his connection to Michigan is what?
So University of Michigan, their team was struggling, and they saw Moses playing, and they actually recruited him. So he was at Oberlin, and they recruited him to play at the University of Michigan. He actually entered the law school 1881 to 1882. I believe his best season was in 1882. He hit a batting average of over 300 and really helped U of M get back on track. This was not the collegiate athletics we have today. Michigan was, they were so bad, they had enlisted a semi-pro catcher to try to help them. So, you know, when we count school records, we should really be skeptical of the 19th century, because they were doing anything they could to improve their record at that time.
And when did he leave U of M?
The documentation isn't great, but somewhere in between 1882 and 1883, he left for the majors.
And Craig Brown, you told our producer, Mike Blank, that Michigan stole Moses Fleetwood Walker from Ohio. Was that in jest, or do you kind of think that's what happened?
Well, just like any young man, certainly the temptations of the beautiful fishing in Michigan and the wonderful culture and all the wonderful people is obviously going to be tempting for anybody. But yeah, they basically took him. You know, they offered him a new opportunity in a bigger school to study law, and he jumped on it. But what's interesting is that he didn't go alone. He did bring his brother, Weldy Walker, and he also went there with a classmate who he would eventually marry. So there is some discussion, some concern of whether or not there was some sort of issues of whether he kind of wanted to get out of that particular area with her and marry her away from home. So there's some interesting things there, too. But, you know, who wouldn't want to play for Michigan, right?
Craig, I think that's probably the nicest thing someone from Ohio has ever said about Michigan. I'm gonna have to behave in the future now.
There we go. All in the spirit of solidarity here. Craig, when we think about this time period, we're really not very long after the Civil War. We're talking about professional baseball in the 1880s. Memories very fresh from the Civil War. Talk about that, what it was like in professional baseball at that time. What was the landscape?
Without a doubt, I mean, it was overwhelmingly a white man's game. You know, we romanticized this era And we think about how, you know, the South wanted slavery and the North didn't want slavery. But that doesn't mean that people in the North weren't racially biased. It doesn't mean that people in the North didn't look at African Americans as being a lesser people, because a lot of folks in the North did. One of the great things about Moses Fleetwood Walker is that, and I think he should be remembered with any other great 19th century African American civil rights figures, is that him just stepping onto a field with all of those white guys, that really made a statement. It made a statement not only to white people that black people were equal, but it was a very inspirational tale to other African Americans as well. So I think that, you know, it was very significant. But, you know, we need to remember that there's a lot of hostility here. Sure, he's playing in Michigan. Sure, he's playing in Cleveland. But he's also playing in Louisville, Kentucky. You know, he's also playing in Cincinnati or, you know, Newcastle, Pennsylvania. You know, racial tension still exists. It's very real, and it's very aggressive.
How did he handle that onslaught of racism? As you say, you're down in Cincinnati, you're close to the South. So how did he handle that?
Unfortunately, I don't think he handled it that well. And I think that Moses wasn't prepared for it either, because he grew up in a Quaker community. He lived in Steubenville, and he traveled to Overland, which is a very progressively minded community itself. So I think that for many reasons, Moses lived a very sheltered life. So baseball literally put him back into the hard knocks of life. It showed him reality. He started to drink, and he drank heavily. And this is something that would affect him for literally the rest of his life. We have one incident where he pulled out a pistol and kind of told people to back off. So obviously, you know, he was scared. Plus, there was also another incident where he was in a fight with a gentleman, and Walker killed him. But it did go to trial in Syracuse, New York, and the all-white jury decided unanimously that it was in self-defense. So, you know, this is a guy who knew what was happening, who realized and experienced all these feelings of racial pressure and all this negativity, and he didn't handle it as well as Jackie Robinson did. He wasn't prepared.
What was the first major league team that Walker played for?
The Toledo Blue Stockings in 1884. He also played for the Toledo Blue Stockings in 1883, but we don't consider the 1883 team to be a major league team. We consider them to be a minor league team. They sort of made the jump to the majors while Moses was involved.
Mark, would we say Walker was the same caliber player as Jackie Robinson? Is this an apples-to-apples comparison, do you think?
No, this is really where the comparison ends, because while Moses was the first African-American to play professional baseball, it stops there. He played one full year. He played in 42 games in that year, scored 23 runs, and had a batting average of .263, which is pretty mediocre. I think a couple other things distinguish Robinson from Moses is that Robinson drew African-Americans to the game when he broke into the league, and that was not the case with Walker. It was a white person's game. The crowds were white. It didn't change the demographic in that respect. And also the league was different. There were some familiar teams in the American Association. Names like Philadelphia Athletics, the New York Metropolitans, and the Washington Nationals were all teams in that league, along with the Toledo Blue Stockings. Just for sports fans, over in the National League, the Detroit Wolverines were playing in the National League in 1884, led by Pretzels Geetson, and they posted an unremarkable 28-84 record that year. So not apples to apples by any means.
Guess not. What position did he play?
Walker was a catcher.
Okay.
Which I think it's interesting that if we're going to compare Robinson to Walker, I think we have to remember that catchers didn't wear equipment. They didn't have pads. And that if you had a glove, you kind of fashioned it yourself. So when comparing baseball then to baseball now, especially as a catcher and as a black catcher, you can imagine, it was a pretty dangerous sport. And unfortunately, injuries did hurt Walker that one season. But in all honesty, you know, a .260-some batting average back in 1884, it wasn't horrible. That's actually not a bad number, believe it or not.
And Craig, you and some of your students worked to have the state of Ohio recognize the achievement of Moses Fleetwood Walker. Tell us about that effort. Did you succeed?
Yes, we did succeed. October 7th, 2018 is going to be the first ever Moses Fleetwood Walker Day in Ohio. And we encourage everyone to celebrate it. Even if you don't live in Ohio, you live in Michigan, anywhere, let it bring us together and celebrate any way that you see fit. We started on that project about 4 or 5 years ago. I was reading a book called Black Diamond, and it mentioned Moses Fleetwood Walker. and how he was from Mount Pleasant, Ohio. And I thought to myself, that's 45 minutes from here, and I never even heard of the guy. Hmm. So I thought, hey, we need to do something. And I took it to the class I was teaching. We were talking about civil rights and civil liberties. And I said, guys, you know, this is something that we need to do. And this last year, it passed the Ohio House, and then it passed the Senate later, and the governor signed it in November. So it finally became a law. We were really excited. And to do this in a manner which we had no interest groups supporting us, we had no paid lobbyists, and we did it purely from the grassroots level.
Ohio-based lecturer Craig Brown of Kent State University and State Archivist Mark Harvey of the Michigan History Center, thank you for telling us about Moses Fleetwood Walker, the first African-American to play professional baseball. Great talking with you both. Thank you.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Thank you.
Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.